In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've been making this microphone joke for at least 10 years, to my knowledge, when Sharon's leading. Anyway, I had a bit of trouble with the computer this week, and I actually wrote something at school and then saved it, goodness knows where, probably at school, and then came home, and of course, I didn't have it, so I wrote it again. So, I won't apologise, but at the same time, bear with me. I was thinking, there's a programme on the television, Who Do You Think You Are? Is it called Who Do You Think You Are? And I've never watched it, but I get the idea. And the idea is that somehow we can be in touch with our ancestors in that they did certain things, and we that's where we've come from. My famous claim to fame is that, and all the kids know it, and it's Fred Fleet was the lookout on the Titanic, he failed, basically, didn't spot the iceberg, and so the ship sank. And, yes, Fred Fleet. And it's true.
Is it true?
Yes. So they used to taunt Rachel at school and say, oh, at least my family didn't sink the Titanic and things like this. It is the same family, and it's an interesting story, but I'm not going to talk about that. But that's who we are. We are linked with our ancestors, but actually, if you think about it, the people you're related to is a sort of exponential growth if you're not careful, because we're very related to everybody. You're related to your siblings, you're related to your siblings' children, you're related to your mom's siblings' children, your dad's siblings, and actually the gene pool a lot of it is so shared. So we have to be a little bit careful how far we go back and what we look at. There's another problem as well, not a problem, but if we say, who are you? So I'd say, who are you, Steve? Steve is works for WARC. In fact, he started WARC. That's who Steve is. Or we could say Steve is the father of three, the grandfather of goodness knows how many, I've forgotten now, loads. And we could identify him like that. Or we could say Steve is my brother in the Lord. And there's lots of things that Steve is. I'm sorry, Steve, I didn't warn you about this. But it's not just one thing. So we could say, who is the other elder? It's Colin Poyser. We could say that's who he is. But that doesn't tell you who he is, that just tells you his name. So who do you say he is? There are various answers. He's wonderful, but it isn't just his name. Who do we say people are is important, but we are all very different, and we could all describe ourselves in different ways. Paul, did he not say, I am all things to all men? In other words, he's a lot of different things. I'm really pleased you mentioned the centurion this morning, Shana, because I was wondering how I was going to link what I'm going to say with what you said. It's almost like we did compare notes. Again, the centurion said of Jesus when he died on the cross, surely or truly, I can't remember which one, truly this was the Son of God. That's who the centurion said he was. And that's the identity of Jesus Christ. Truly, said the centurion, he's the Son of God, or a Son of God, I think it says. That's his identity. Every Saturday, I don't know if you do it, I go through the archway into Carter Square. The Jehovah's Witnesses are there with a little stand. And every Saturday, I'm too tired to sort of get into this. And I really wish I would, because they have a problem with the identity of Jesus Christ. And it's a big problem for me, because they are denying his divinity. They would say, oh no, he's just a... They can't even say he's a god. They have to say he's some kind of minor something lower than God, which is incredible. And I have a real problem with that. And the scriptures all over the place that say Jesus is God, is God. And when Thomas didn't touch his side, he said he was going to have to. My Lord and my God. And that's who Thomas is identifying Jesus as, my Lord and my God. Two things, and the same thing. There's a problem with who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And ultimately, who we say Jesus Christ is, that's the crucial matter. And ever since Jesus came into the world, there's been this difficulty. Who is he? What is he? What does he stand for? The early church was persecuted because the law said you had to worship Caesar, but they worshipped Jesus Christ. A problem. So they had councils and they decided actually Jesus is God, very man, very God, and is part of this Trinity of the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father. And the church was persecuted for it. And even today, in Hinduism and other religions, Christians are persecuted because they say Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the one God, the one true God with the Father and the Son. And we know nothing in this country of persecution, but they're persecuted mercilessly for that. And the Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And all of us will answer that question. I think Jesus might just say, who am I to people? Who am I? And what role should I be playing, or what role did I play in your life? And that's a crucial question. I wanted to spend a few minutes. I don't want to be too long. I always say that and then I end up too long. You go to Israel, you go to a place and it's called Panyas or Banyas. It's an Arabic word for the little place where the Jordan is sourced. I don't know if anyone's ever been there. And it comes out and it's all lots of running water. It's a starter. It's a riverhead. And the water is the start of the Jordan, little port, and it's called Panyas because they worship the god Pan. The Romans worship the god Pan there. And the Arabic translation of Pan, they can't say per, so it became Banyas. And then it became Caesarea Philippi, which is the Romans built a little fort there, big fort, and it became this place. And it's here where Jesus took his disciples and he said to Peter, who do you say? I'm just going to read in Caesarea Philippi, it's Matthew 16, it's just three verses. Matthew 16, 13 to 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This declaration, and Simon knew. And he went on to deny it, didn't he? He went on to do this thing three times, and then the cock crowed and he cried. And then Jesus made him say it again. He got him on the edge of the Lake Galilee and he said, feed my sheep. He was making him. He asked him three times, feed my sheep. Because he's saying, you forgot that I was the Messiah. I just want to use that as my text. And as Sharon pointed out, a lot of the three of the gospels say the same things. They're called the synoptic gospels, and this is in all three. But Luke does it from a certain point of view. Mark does it from a certain point of view. But Matthew is presenting Jesus here as the King, the Messiah, and the long-awaited Messiah that's prophesied in the Old Testament. And Jesus doesn't like. He doesn't look kindly on those whose faith is lacking. And without the faith, it's impossible to please God, or anything that isn't faith is sin. And Jesus is looking for faith there. What's the faith of my disciples? And he picked on Simon Peter, of course, and made him make that. And they're in this place, Panyas, Bagna, or Panyas, or Banyas, they call it. And here he's making him declare. And it's all symbolic. You've got the source of the River Jordan, this great river of life that flows through Israel, the very source. It's clean, it's fast flowing, it's not quite so at the end. And Jesus is making Peter say these things. Pagan gods were worshipped here, so who's the true God? Because this is a place where they worship Pan, and there's a temple to Pan. And there's all sorts of places all over the world, mosques, synagogues, temples, Hindu temples, Buddhist temples. And Jesus is saying, who do you think I am? Who do you think I am? And they needed to say. We need to know for ourselves who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Who do we say he is? I touched on last time do we enjoy our faith? And it's really quite a difficult one. Do we enjoy our faith? Do we like being Christians? Is there just no alternative? I don't know. But this time it's, do we know where we are? Who are we saying Jesus is? Who do men say that he is? What are people saying about him? What do they say? And there's always a they. And sometimes people say, oh, they say, and who are they? I'm sometimes asked. We never know exactly who they are. Popular belief. Well, who's the popular belief? Popular belief says, this is who he is. And we have to be very careful about they. Who is the they? They could actually be wrong. Don't rely on they. Make up your own mind. So what are we saying? Who are we saying Jesus is? What do men say? What do people say the Son of Man is? Who do they say he is? And as Jesus put it, who do they say I am? Some say, Jesus, that you are. The first one, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was crying in the wilderness. I don't mean crying, he was shouting in the wilderness. Wore camel hair. He ate the wild things in the wild, locusts maybe, things growing on little bushes. He urged people to repent, turn to God, and be baptized. And John lost his life to Herod. He was beheaded, if you remember. And now he may have come back to life in the person of Jesus Christ. But John the Baptist actually said, the one greater than I is coming. He didn't say, I'm going to be him. He said, actually, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. Jesus was greater than John the Baptist. So maybe it's not John the Baptist, although they did say. Some say it's Elijah. Elijah, whose God is Jehovah, the one who called fire from heaven. And the fire came and it got rid of the water, got rid of half the prophets, burnt the firewood, burnt the sacrifices. This was Elijah, who said to Israel, who are you going to choose, Baal or God? Don't halt, don't limp between these two opinions. Elijah prepared the way of the Lord. But they still, there's a prophet greater than Elijah. This is Jesus Christ. So maybe it's not Elijah. We could go on. Some say Jesus is Jeremiah. Jeremiah, appointed by Jehovah, that means, I think. The weeping prophet. Jeremiah, all that whole book of Lamentations. The one who suffered persecution was put in a hole. His prophecies concerning Israel made him stuck in a hole, be put in a hole, telling Israel to turn to God. But actually, Jesus is greater even than Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Some say he's one of the prophets, but Jesus was greater than all the prophets. So the question remained, who do you say I am? Not who do people say I am, who do you say I am? We have to answer this question for ourselves. And I'm not pretending that I don't know what you're going to say. Who we say Jesus is the crucial thing. And it's not just opinion, it's actually what we believe, what we have in our heart. Our faith is who we say Jesus is. What did he do? He has power. He walked on the water. The water that the laws of nature, yes, they apply most of the time. They didn't have to apply to Jesus. Jesus could choose to not have the laws of nature. So he walked on the water. He could have done one where he went under the water and stayed under the water for a long time. That could have been a good miracle, but didn't. He walked on the water instead. He healed the sick. It's miraculous. He healed the sick. Not just as a doctor or a physician, but actually in a miraculous way. He raised the dead. People don't generally do that. He fed the 4,000, then he fed the 5,000. And he used words, the Latin's ego eimi, I am that I am. I truly tell you. It's like saying, I'm speaking as God. And they picked up stones when they heard that. Because here's someone who starts to speak like they're God. He forgave sins. Only God can forgive sins. He allowed people to worship him. These are all there that only God can have these things happen to him. So they pick up stones. And whenever you read, they pick up stones. It's where Jesus is not just implying, but perhaps stating that he's God. They pick up stones to stone him. The Sermon on the Mount, Steve's been giving us those Beatitudes. Fantastic. Blessed are those who do this. He has no, as an ordinary person, you have no right to say that. Who is a man that he can say what pleases God? Who is a man that he can say who's a friend of God, which is what the word means? Who is a man to say which bunches of people are blessed? That's God's job, and Jesus is God. That's why he's doing it. He spoke in parables. The parables are these wonderful stories of how God sees things, how God acts in men's affairs, how God wants us to be, that our attitude. And then, as Sharon was talking about, we come to the passion, we come to the crucifixion, and it's very clear. This great curtain that for centuries separated people from God, a thick curtain, you couldn't just slit it with a knife. It would take a saw to saw through this curtain, because we needed to separate the Holy of Holies from the ordinary people. The priest went in there once a year. I think other priests could potter about and faff around, but the big event in the year, the Passover, the high priest would go behind the curtain, and they attached bells to his robe just in case God smote him, because it was a very dangerous place, because if you see God, you die. And they put bells on his robe so if he did fall over, they could drag him out. And this curtain was split from top to bottom. Immediately, Jesus has died, and so immediately the Holy Holy has become. The place of God has become our place. The place where only the high priest could go is now for all of us. Brilliant. Because that speaks of God's power. Going right back is about his father's business when he was lost. Well, didn't you expect to find me in my father's house, doing my father's stuff? Who do we say he is? I know what the scripture says. When Jesus said, when Moses said to God, who is it that's speaking to me? I am that I am, is the Hebrew translation. I am the one, I am that I am. And it has no vowels. It's Yehovah. And that's God's name. When Moses said, who are you? God said, tell them that I am sent you. I am. And before God, before Abraham was, what did Jesus say? I am. Strange in English, but I think the people would understand. Before Abraham was, I am. This is blasphemy. This is blasphemy if he's not God, and of course he's God. Who are you? Before Abraham was, I am. When I was ill, Jesus was my protector and healer. I met with the Lord when I was ill. Jesus was there. He's the one who came when I didn't know where to turn. When we look at our life and we wonder where it's going, Jesus guides us. And I have to say, my life experiences, he's there. Jesus is there as God. And he's not let me down. And sometimes I look back at my ridiculous career in some ways, and it is laughable that I've had something like 13 jobs in 18 years. It must be almost a world record. And yet, without the one thing, the other thing wouldn't have happened. And I look back to when I was ill, and I think, well, if I hadn't been ill, I'd never have come across Judith, who's not here. I wouldn't have met her, because I would have finished university, she would have started the next year. As it was, she started and I was just finishing. So we had a year of overlap. I'd never have met her. If I hadn't done the subjects I did, I would never have met her. If I hadn't done this, I wouldn't have found this. God has been all through my life directing it. And sometimes I think, what on earth are you playing at? And then later on, I can see. And you can argue and fight, and it's horrible. You think, what on earth are you doing, God? Why are you doing this? Why are you making me suffer in this way? And yet, later on, we can say, yeah, I didn't like that, but I can see why. Because nothing else would have changed me. God, you are changing me, because only God knows how to get the right results in some ways. I've done all sorts of funny things. I'm in a funny school now, and I'm thinking, what's going to happen after they don't want me at Christmas? They will. What's going to happen? I like it here. God, you need to please direct me. Show me. And we can all have this. We've got the similar story. God has planned it all out. It's not straightforward. He's always leaves it till the last minute, it seems to me. He mixes with all the wrong people. He's always at the last minute. And you never know what he's doing. And yet we accept that as Christians. Because it's great. Because you know that ultimately God does know what he's doing. God doesn't leave it late. And God mixes exactly with the right people. And in my life, and I'm not going to go on about my life, but in my life, that's how God has dealt with me. And when we see something that's not so good, we think, why is that happening? There's a reason. It's a reason actually that's beyond our understanding. But who do we say that he is? We say he's Lord. True love. God loves us with an everlasting love that won't fail. God's love won't go kind of coldish, won't go thin. He loves us with this everlasting love. It determines our true value, our true purpose is to serve God. We serve God, not ourselves. It determines this intimacy with God. Because God is honest, obviously, we can trust him. Because we can trust him, we can allow him into the areas of our life that we can't allow anyone else. This true intimacy with God, which you can't have with anyone else. Who do we say who do we say Jesus is? Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one prophesied about who's going to come and save Israel. And it's almost ambiguous, because save Israel from what? Actually save them from themselves. It's not the Romans. It's not the Greeks. It's not the British. I don't think the Greeks conquered them, but the Medes and the Persians conquered the land. And they thought each time that this is God, the Messiah, is going to be sent to save them from that. He's not a political Messiah. He's saving them from themselves. He's the anointed one. The Greek is Christos, Christ. It's the Christ, the Saviour. Yeshua, the Saviour. You are the Son of God, the Messiah. The same essence of God. I look at my family, and maybe you do, and you see yourselves in them. They are literally bits of you in there. They're showing those characteristics that somebody gave you, because they've got bits of them in you. And I look at little Jacob, we can't see him today, he's not here. And somebody said, oh, he's just like his grandfather. And I didn't think that, but because he is, because he's related to me. Jesus has got this essence of God. This is the same. He's got the same equality of God. He sits at the right hand, and to sit at somebody's right hand is to be equal with them, not subservient. You sit at their feet if you're subservient. You sit on their right hand if you're equal. Jesus is God. He's Saviour and he's Lord. So who do we say he is? So what's the result? What must we do? I'm not going to go on too long. We must give our time. We give our time. You can't get to know someone without spending time with them. You can't love someone if you're not willing to listen to them. So we give our time and we give our attention to them. We pray. Our prayer time allows us to share our heart with him, but we want him to share our heart with us as well. His heart with us, sorry. We don't just make time for him, we must make time for us both. We must submit our will to him. We must make a decision to remove self as much as we can from our choices and decisions. We make a decision to submit and put his agenda over us. Not my will, but yours, Lord. Not my will, but yours. We must submit ourselves to him. When Christ went to the cross to die for our sins, all of him went. And in appreciation, we should give him all of us. We present this body and all our secrets to him so that we can be like him. Okay, conclusion. Who do you say that I am? That answer to that question will determine our destiny. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with him, then of course we need to do that. If we haven't asked ourselves and answered the question, who do I say he is, we need to do that. And as we do him, we need to evaluate what Jesus has done for us. He's coming back, that's the main thing, he's coming again. One day he'll look into our face and say those words, who do you say I am? And our response should be, you are Lord. Our response should be, Jesus, take me now, your good and faithful servant. I've done my best because I've said in my life that you are Lord. Jesus is Lord. Creation's voice proclaims it. Our voice needs to proclaim that as well. We had the choice. We have a choice of becoming a Christian. God wants willing followers. He doesn't want slaves. I don't think he wants people who are forced to follow him because there's no choice. We follow him because that's what we want. That's what we know is the ultimate answer. So let's think, who do we say Jesus is? Amen. What do we choose to sing? I've forgotten that.
Jesus is King.
Jesus is King, which I think is on the theme. And you're not going to play, are you? No, I'll do some
back here. Jesus is King.